Welcome to the Speak Your Success Podcast.
Welcome, successors, to another episode of Speak Your Success. This is another Feature Friday episode that we're dropping. Today, I got my brother in the building. Me and him been going back and forth, playing duck, duck, goose, and playing tag, trying to get connected. But now I finally got him in the studio. Mr. Dozy Azima, what's going on, baby?
Nothing much. How you guys doing?
Man, glad to finally get you here.
I know, it's glad to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, man. It's well overdue.
Word.
Well over.
Cause it's been what?
How long has it been?
Since we've been trying to link up.
Man.
Six, 7 months,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it's been a good little while. Well, where we first meet, though?
We first met at game night.
Yeah, Paula. Yeah, Paula and Ashley's crib. Yeah. For those of you out there, I'm curious to hear y'all's experiences, game night experiences. So comment down. If you're rocking with us on YouTube, comment down at the bottom because I want to see those game night experiences. But we was at Paula and Ashley's spot out here. And those of you who know, game night gets intense.
It's real intense, especially our game night.
Ooh. You talk about battle of the sexes. You talk about people changing rules and
bragging rights and all of that.
Bragging rights on a whole nother level. Anyway, so we met for the first time. It was leading up to the NBA Finals. Because I think it was like the Houston. I can't remember who Houston was playing, but Houston was on.
Were they playing Golden State?
Yeah, I think it was.
I think it was.
Yeah. That sounds accurate. And it was like, okay, it's time to play the games. It was like, wait, but the game.
It's on. It's on.
They're like, nah, well, y'all can just play. No, sweetheart. Just hold that thought. This game will be over in a little bit. You know, just let us rock. We want to enjoy the game. We brotherhood.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, so and we're gonna talk more about that, and we're gonna find out more about Dozy. But before we get into that, I want to just take that time, like we always do, and shine light on just a faithful and loyal listener by doing this review of the week. And this review of the week comes from Miss D91. And for those of you who are like, how do I leave a review? How do I become the review of the week? You would just go on iTunes, type in Speak Your Success, scroll down to the bottom, and then click write a review. But Miss D1 went on to say, this is a pretty dope show. It's humbling to hear the stories of each person on their path to success. Especially in this era of social media, you don't see the process as much. We just get a glimpse of their success. Rarely people speak on what it looks like for them to get there. This podcast is a nice reminder that you too can achieve your true purpose. Keep it up, JJ. Miss D91, we appreciate you for rocking with the Speak Your Success podcast. And you are this week's Apple Review of the Week. So we definitely appreciate you. But now, man, Dozy, we're gonna now focus on you. We're going to shift the show to focus on you.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, because like I told you before, man, the focus of this show is just sharing our stories with people, but ultimately showing them how we were where we once were and then how we've been able to get to this level of some success. So Dozy, just tell us a little bit about you, just briefly, just like the highlights of you really quick.
Okay,
like introduction.
Quick highlights of my life.
Yeah.
My name is Dozy Azima. I am 28 years old, recently just turned 28, you know, and I'm a chemist. I'm a chemist by career-wise. Played football, went to the NFL, and ended up in chemistry. And I have a YouTube series that's pretty thriving as well called Falling Forward. And it basically talks about Christ from a male perspective. It deals with the gray topics that nobody wants to talk about or everybody thinks is cute. And just want to get people into a male mind to see the way men think, really.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I mean, I think that's dope. Well, first, we can't blow past the fact that you said the NFL. Dozy, everybody, I don't even know what the percentage is, but everybody don't make it to the league, brother.
That's true.
Everybody don't make it. Because when I first met you, I was like, this dude, I didn't want to just assume that you was an athlete.
Yeah.
But then we was talking, and then another game was on, a different game
night.
Yeah,
and I think I might have knew the person or something.
Yeah, I probably, because I think it was watching like West Virginia. I think they were on TV.
Was it?
I think we were.
Maybe.
Yeah, and then we started talking, and then you shared that. So, I mean, I think that's dope, but I'm even more proud to hear the fact that you've been able to now create a life outside of and after the NFL.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So, like, I mean, like tell us a little bit about, like, how you became a chemist. How did that come about?
So, to be honest, I originally went to school as a computer engineer.
Okay.
And I love computers, just wanted to build them, but I ended up in chemistry because football wouldn't let me continue to pursue computer engineering. So I happened to have a lot of chemistry credits. So they were just like, hey, become a chemist. And I was like, all right, I'm going to school for sports, right? At the end of the day, yeah, they pay the bills. So it's like, that's really how I ended up in chemistry. So it wasn't any like, I love chemistry. No, I just ended up in chemistry.
I used to love watching Dexter's Laboratory when I was younger. Like, it wasn't none of that.
Word, mixing things up and all of that. So it's a blessing now because I see the why God did what he did. Because I see being a black chemist, how pivotal it is, especially being a man. So many people come to me and just like, I've never met a black male chemist. And then also the fact that I played football and I'm normal. Like, you get a lot of chemists that are socially awkward. I know I work in the field. Most of them are socially awkward. So it's great to be able to be an example to other men, whatever color, whatever race. It just doesn't matter. But especially just for them to see, like, oh, I can do this. I'm not dumb. I'm not just an athlete.
Yeah, and I think that that's big in itself as well, because we think about, because I'm sure all of us who have gone to college are just, you know, the association or the stereotype that we see. Oh, you're a jock. You're just a insert athlete for whatever sport here, and they don't think that you're capable to do anything else. So, I mean, just even thinking about that, man, I mean, I can applaud that because I took chemistry, and just to require chemistry, and chemistry is not easy.
No. No, it's not. I had a lot of nights where I naturally went to sleep around 3, 4 a.m., and you had, what, 6 a.m. lift the next day?
Ooh.
So I barely slept in college like that, to be honest.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even factor that in. So yeah, you was cranking out the work, and it still had to, of course, still had to show up to get on the field and still had to do that preparation.
Produce. And I was good. So I wasn't even on the bench, like, you know, like I wasn't.
You couldn't chill.
Yeah, no. I was playing. Man. You know, thank God I was playing. I wasn't any scrub, but, you know, I thank God. So,
man, that's crazy because I played college basketball, and although I played junior college, and then I went to a school that's D3, now they're D2. Shout out UT Tyler. But, man, the level of commitment that you're required to put in, the hours that you're required to put, it's a full-time job, and you was doing chemistry on top of that?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. And it's so interesting now that you see in the work field that, I mean, chemistry is great, but because everybody's entrepreneurs, I was like, it wasn't even that serious. You know, like, I didn't have to take that path like that. It was a safe path. And secured, but it let me pursue my dream as well as have a safety.
Wow.
You know how a lot of people pursue their dream and they struggle. I'm like, I tell people all the time, you don't have to struggle to pursue your dream. You know, you can live safe and pursue your dream.
Man, I mean, I think that's something that's a conversation that doesn't happen more oftentimes than not.
No.
Because you think entrepreneur, you think of somebody just going out either just putting it on the line, almost like gambling, versus somebody who, because that was my idea of entrepreneurship. When I first got started, I just dove all in. And then I later had to eat my own words and realize that, wow, John, if you're going to do entrepreneurship like this, you're barely paying your bills by Ubering, and you barely make enough to even go out and have any form of a social life.
Absolutely.
But there's a different breed of individual who lives like that. Like you're talking about, and I don't think there's nothing wrong with living safe, because I would even go as far as to say it's somebody who prepared.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, because at the end of the day, the whole point is I want to pursue my dream, right? So if your whole point is to pursue your dream, it doesn't matter how you do it, as long as you eventually get to your dream.
Wow.
So some people risk it all. And there's nothing wrong with that, but some people have a plan and execute their dream. It is what it is, but at the end of the day, they're both going to end up with the same trophy.
And there's not going to be an asterisk by it either.
Absolutely.
Man. Okay, so we talk about pursuing dream, and then I'm curious to ask you, what does your dream look like, or what do you feel that your purpose is?
Oh, so a lot of my purpose is definitely, it's grown with time. I see, especially from the YouTube series and the way it's growing and whatnot, I love to be an example and set a standard for men.
That's good.
And for the world, period, but I love to set a standard because whether I meet the standard or not, there's a standard that Christ set for people to live by. So I'm going to say it, and I'm going to say it from a male perspective, because too many men, we don't take responsibility for our actions.
Ooh, run that back, Dozy. One more time. You got to run that back one more time.
A lot of us men, we don't take responsibility for our actions. You know, and I tell people all the time, the beginning of manhood is when you're willing to take responsibility for your action, but you also know what you're doing. Ooh. That's the beginning of manhood.
Man, and that right there, I think, eliminates many of us, or shows many of us how immature we are in our quote-unquote manhood or malehood. Mm-hmm. Because some of us go around, I was this guy in college. I was going around doing what I wanted to do. I didn't take any orders from anybody. I didn't have to check in with nobody. I was going to live the life I was going to live. Mom, you're not here. Dad, you're not here. I'm going to live loose. Call me the prodigal son. Mm-hmm. But later realizing that all of those decisions that I made, I later had to deal with the consequence.
Absolutely.
And some work was definitely behind that. But go ahead. Yeah. Keep talking about that.
Absolutely. Because I realize just it's specifically with men, because for some reason, women are better off saying, hey, I did this. You know, I got all this turmoil from it, but I made a mistake. Mm-hmm. Men, we do things and we're like, why are you acting crazy? Or why are you doing this? Oh, you get what I mean? We do a lot of stuff and we ask why. Like, what's wrong with what I did? Or why is this? We know what we did.
We know. Take the young lady on the date, wine her, dine her, hold her hand, go walking in the park. Next day, you're like, why is she blowing me up?
Absolutely.
Dozy, why is she calling me?
It's like,
I don't even like her like that. Where did she get that idea from?
And that's what I want to pull men out and just say, hey, look, if we can get to a point where we make decisions and understand what we're doing and face it, then you've set a standard for you. You're going to go downhill. You're willingly going downhill. You get too many men that, let's say they start a business venture and it tanks or whatnot. They don't prepare for all of that. And then they're like, what happened? Well, you took this risk. This was going to happen. But they blame almost everybody. I don't know why, as men, we just like to do that. So it's a real thing. So my slogan is making standards come alive. So as men, period, we need to make standards come alive. And women need to see that there are examples of men that really do take action to what they say.
Man. And I think one of the craziest things about it is, like, I think it's just the picture of what we have seen manhood to be over time. Because the manly man, maybe your dad or maybe his dad, you know, that the definition of a man was basically a provider, and that's it.
Absolutely.
Like, they provided financially. They put food on the table. They made sure the bills were paid. And that was it. There might have not been no connection. There might have not been no ability for you and him to be vulnerable with one another, mm-hmm. to have real conversation. But now I think that's evolved over time, especially Absolutely. With that term. I know you're familiar with this, toxic masculinity.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Man, Dozy, talk about that and how you feel like how that ties into to the man today.
So I can definitely say with just being toxically masculine.
There we go.
Right?
Yeah.
Did I get it out?
Because you just did an episode on that, didn't you? I could have sworn. I thought I saw you did an episode on that.
I didn't use those exact words.
Okay. Yeah.
I know just in general when men are just trying to be so manly that it begins to pull. You know, here's the thing. As men, we're leaders, right? Mm-hmm. But as a good leader knows how to follow and knows when to allow somebody else to lead.
This is true.
But you have a lot of men out here who don't understand what it is to lead and have never led before in their life. So when they finally get a woman that they should be the head to, they automatically just go overboard. They go overboard. They don't know how to allow a woman to be a queen. Wow. She's still a queen. She's not a princess. She's not anything below that. She's a queen, which is a partner.
Break it down, Dozy. Make it plain for us.
It's so different because, you know, sometimes a woman may be better financially, so you got to give her the money. She may be better in certain areas of life, so you have to let her lead in that area. If you're really going to be a king, you have to give a woman the ability to be a queen, which means asking her, hey, just practical, like, hey, where you want to go eat? If she doesn't answer, then you can take lead, but you have to give her opportunities to do that, as opposed to saying, hey, we're going to eat here every single day. Now you are going overboard. You know what I mean? And a woman feels that.
Man, that's really good. Just hearing the fact that just because you're the man, and the Bible says the man is the head, of mm-hmm. course, under Christ. But ultimately, just because you're the head doesn't mean you make all the decisions. Just because you're the head doesn't mean you don't consult with other individuals. But you know that great leaders know when to lead, and Absolutely. Great leaders know when to pull on somebody else's strength. I once heard it said that the best business people and the best leaders, period, they always know to have smarter people around them.
Absolutely.
Because they've helped them look good. But ultimately, they're able to allow other people to pull on their strength so that everybody wins, everybody looks good, everybody gets to have their shot at the prize, just Absolutely. Because everybody's, you know, team effort, mm-hmm. like football and all that. But Dumsey, talk to us about falling forward.
Falling forward.
How did this come? How did falling forward come about? How did you fall forward, brother?
Falling forward. The concept of falling forward means that when you're walking, period, when you're living life, walking a life with Christ, and even if you don't know Him, when you make a mistake, you trip. And you fall. But if you always fall forward, you're always progressing.
That's good.
So you're always learning. That's where it came from. But the show started was my testimony came out, and it's so crazy. It was a spiral effect. My testimony came out, and it kind of went low-key viral. Can I say okay, low-key okay, viral? Low-key, low-key viral. I'm you know when it goes viral, yeah. but it don't go viral. You know what I mean? Like, so it went low-key viral, and Ashley Empowers shout out to Ashley Empower. Her and Carrington have been a blessing to my life. But the interview came, and it's a crazy story in how, because I seen Ashley's video maybe 2 years prior, had no idea it was her. Ended up randomly bumping into Carrington, her husband, and her at an event.
Oh, okay.
Asked me to be in the interview, do an interview, have no idea who she is. It ends up going viral, and I'm like, I saw her video 2 years ago. Small world, right?
Oh,
I was
wow.
living in another state. All of that just happened to randomly move and meet her.
Wow.
And from that, it went viral. And then the YouTube series, people were like, you know, you should really do a YouTube series about it. And I'm like, heck no. You know, like, absolutely not.
I'm good.
I'm good. And I said, all right, God. I said, if you can give me three essential people in my life to come say that, I'll do it. And the last one was my dad called me up and was like, you need to do this. Randomly. He had no idea I prayed that prayer.
Oh.
So that happened. And I just started it. I started a YouTube series, and I was like, all right, I'm going to do this. And it just blew up. Or it got a lot of traction, because all I was doing was being an honest man. That's initially what started off as. It just started off with me being an honest man.
Okay.
And it evolved into a relationship, life kind of thing, because people just, men with men, real respect's real.
That's true.
With men. And I just realized that there weren't enough honest men that serve Christ as an example. You know, nowadays you get a lot of people, men, I don't know what it is, but once they get saved, they sound like women. They just talk from an angle that only appeals to women. Which is why men can't get down with that.
So just you sharing on, you know, why the fact that, you know, falling forward has gotten some traction. Shout out to Ashley Empower. Shout out to Carrington. But one thing I've realized just in life, when there's a people or when there's just a general need for something, and then somebody meets the need, we can go back to economics class, it's supply and demand.
Supply and demand, absolutely.
Supply and demand. So the world has been needing to hear an honest man.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think that there's such a strong push, or that I think that's why there are many people coming to build a relationship with Christ, because now people are realizing that the world, one, is out of control, but two, like, it's out of our hands. There are problems in this life and in the world that if we try to bear ourselves, we will literally worry ourselves to death.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's also, the good thing is men come and they're really just like, I'm just like you. I'm not cut from another egg. I'm just like you. And that's a great thing that happens from the show, is just men notice, like, hey, I go through the same thing, or I'm dealing with the same thing. And he's not different. He's no different from me. But ministers or people, when they got saved, all of a sudden they felt like, you didn't go through the same stuff this person went through. I understand why you can't come to Christ, because these girls are so fine. I know, I'm you. You know what I mean? Like, I'm you. I get it. So, and then people also got to understand, I was in the league. I know what goes on in the locker room.
Lord, have mercy.
I know.
I can't even imagine.
I know things that people don't even imagine. Like, they just like, that's, I tell people things, and they're like, no, that doesn't happen. And I laugh. Like, it's just like, I laugh because their mind can't comprehend how crazy it is in there and how toxic it is. And the only person they will listen to is somebody that's honest.
Man. Lord, I can't. Yeah, I can't even imagine what
some of the things I've seen. And no, it's like, yeah, you wouldn't want to, you know, you wouldn't. I look at the world very differently because of
I
that.
Believe it.
Absolutely. I just see things differently. I see a lot of things for what they are. And people have to pay attention to the little things. It's the little things that you see. And they like, they did what? Oh, okay, that means this is that. It's that fast. It's that quick. But when you just grow up in an environment, an athletic environment in general, and you know you play basketball, it's such a womanizing environment.
Yeah, yeah.
It's such a womanizing environment. I've just seen where I could care less if there was a ring and three kids. We're coming for you.
Yeah.
And there's 100 of us, and we're coming for you. We work out every day. We train. And all we care about is you and women. You know what I mean? So it's
man, that I mean, that's so sad, but it is so true. And then you go back to asking yourself, where did this come from? And after taking some time and really thinking about it, I think it's just the aspect of the mind of an athlete, right? Mm-hmm. Because when you're playing football, the goal is to win a national championship. The goal is to get the trophy, to get the ring, to make it to the bowl game. And you're wanting to achieve something that you know is going to be so hard to achieve. But then what happens the next season? You start all over again.
Absolutely.
You're going after it all over again. And I think that's the same thing with the prettiest girl, the prettiest woman. You're like, oh, I got to get her so I can put her, boom, in the trophy case. And then after you get the woman, and then half the time, guy's like, okay, well, you know, the race is over, so I'm done with her. Because I mentor some young men. Over at Couture House, and it's a halfway house, but I was talking with a young man the other day, and then he was like, yeah, man, there's a girl I mess with. I said, what does that mean? And he was like, nah, you know, I mess around with her, whatever. I don't really like her like that. I said, well, why are you entertaining this young lady if you have no feelings for her whatsoever, and you don't even really, you don't even necessarily care for her at all? I said, why are you even messing with her? And then he was like, "Well, nah, man, you know how it is." And then he said he's Muslim. And I was like, "Okay, well," I said, "Well, what does your book of faith say about that?" He said, "Well, they say you're not supposed to have sex before marriage." I said, "Do you believe what your book says?" He was like, "Come on, man, now you know." And then I think it's just the idea of one young man has it. Okay, I gotta get her. I'm gonna get her. Then he goes back to the locker room and tells these other guys, and then it creates this cycle, and continues to perpetuate a cycle. Just of somebody chasing a carrot.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So, Dozy, we're talking about just athletes and what that looks like. But let's just take a turn. Mm-hmm. Let's take a quick turn. And then let's talk about like athletes and entrepreneurship. When you hear that, what do you think?
So, when I hear that, I honestly, from being an athlete, I understand that athletes are really bred to be entrepreneurs.
Talk more about that.
And we wake up at 5, 6 a.m. to lift every day. We train. Entrepreneurs wake up 5, 6 a.m. to at least study, train, start their business.
True.
And also, as an athlete, you are instructed on what to do and how to do it, but you also have a drive and a success to win. The way regular people that are not athletes are just taught to listen and do, but as an athlete, you're... there's a winning sensation that you have to have, which is what entrepreneurs have. So the way our lifestyles, not only do they collab with entrepreneurs, but our mindsets are always thinking of different ways to win and succeed.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? So as an athlete, I understood, because once I started working full time, I was like, I'm not supposed to be doing this, because I understand why athletes struggle so much at the end of whatever they're doing to work 8 hours. Because when you've been taught and trained to just win, succeed, and push, there's no achievement in going into work and leaving.
Ooh.
It's just no achievement.
Man, that's really good.
It's just none. So I've understood. I was like, we're really bred to be entrepreneurs. We're bred to push the thing, create something, design something, and push through it. We'll take the risk because we're athletes. We know what it feels like and how to take a risk.
High risk, high reward. And I mean, you even see a lot of that now, even with athletes now. Mm-hmm. Like they have the careers. One of the people, the first people that comes to mind for me is a Dwayne Wade. Because Dwayne Wade's been in the league, I don't know how many years, mm-hmm. but over the past few years, I've seen like he started like doing socks.
Mm-hmm.
And then he also signed a deal with his shoes like in China so that he can get the better deal. But now you see people positioning themselves, if you
Absolutely.
Will, to transition from the game to make sure that, you know, after the game's done with them and they're done with the game, that that's not the end-all, be-all.
Because mm-hmm. you got the Michael Jordans, you got the Magic Johnsons, you got all these people that did. Michael Jordan made more money from his shoes than he did his career, if I'm not mistaken, statistically. So when you have all these people and you see they have the blueprint, and when I stopped, whatever happened with football, I realized, I was like, you know, athletes are really meant to create ideas and execute them. We have everything. We already have the name. We already have the accessories around us. Our name is already big in our hometown most of the time if you're an athlete.
That's true.
Or if you went big time or whatever, you know? So it's just, we're just bred and taught differently.
Wow.
So it's hard to go into the real world and say, hey, I want you to come in 8 hours and do this. Where do I win? You know? How do I win?
Man.
As an entrepreneur, you win.
Man. That's really, and talking about entrepreneurship and talking about risk. Okay, so recently I know you put on social media that you're preparing to move.
Absolutely.
Just up and move.
Absolutely.
Up and move. So what was it that shifted you to move, and just talk a little bit more about that.
Oh, so for what shifted me to move, it was honestly God. I got an offer, and I had a few offers,
mm-hmm.
and for work. And I've been applying and whatnot, and I was like, you know what? Prayed about it, took some quiet time, and I was like, let me take this move. And it's not a move that I want. It's a move that I need. You know, it's one of those things where you don't like everything. Because coming when I moved to Dallas, I up and took everything, 2 suitcases, and I was just gone. I was like, I'm moving to Dallas. I like to move. I wanted to move to Dallas, you know?
Okay, mm-hmm.
But where I'm moving to now, I don't want to move there. But it's like
it's necessary.
It's necessary, but it's a risk. And I always tell people, I'm a risk taker, but I take calculated risk. There's 2 different types of risk takers.
Wow, break that down.
There's one person that just take jumps without evaluating a thing.
That was me.
I wouldn't say it's bad or good. You know, this is neither here nor there.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely a calculated risk taker. There are ones that are calculated risk takers who will jump, but they'll plan everything out and jump. So they jump with a plan. Like, if I'm going to leave town, I'm going to save up money so I can book an Airbnb and get a job. Then you got people that are just like, I'm going to get in my car and drive. 2 different people, you know?
2 different people.
Same risk.
Right. Man, that's good, though. That's really good. Mm-hmm. Just because the people who rock with the podcast, the successors, I don't want y'all to miss that. Because sometimes we can take an inadvertent risk, or we can just take a risk that we just feel, oh, I want to do this because off the strength of I just want to do it,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to taking time and potentially preparing for the risk. So that way you might have some money put to the side, or that way if you're preparing to move, you know somebody else who's in that city or somebody who can get you connected. Man, that's really good.
Absolutely. I moved to Dallas, with 2 suitcases, no car. And I didn't even know you needed a car in Texas like that.
Oh, that's okay. What'd you thought you were going to ride a horse?
I didn't know what I was going to do. There was Lyft and Uber, but I moved here, and I knew I had a degree.
Okay.
So I knew I had a degree in chemistry, so it was a guarantee I was going to get a job.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a go-getter, so the risk wasn't just air under it. There was a plan. I was a go-getter, had some money saved up, booked the Airbnb, applied to jobs, and I got a job immediately. There was no option for failure. There's no option for failure for me. I'm always like that. Plan B is to find another way to make plan A work. That's how I live my life. So,
man, there was no option for failure.
There's no option for failure.
Man, Dosey, go ahead. Tell us. You're on Twitter, right?
I am on Twitter. Twitter, Instagram, even Facebook, and it's all the same handle. It's Dosey, D-O-Z-I-E, the number 4 and the letter J.
Okay, we're going to have that down here on YouTube, and we're also going to have it down in the show notes to make sure people can get a hold of you. I only had to ask because you just threw out a tweetable right there. No. You threw out a couple of them. You hit us with a trifecta. I think it was three of them. You went pew, pew, pew.
back to back.
Yeah, so I'm going to go ahead and tweet those out eventually. But, man, I think that's something really for us to chew on, and even the piece about the athletes being the natural bred entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. Well, how about this? I want to ask you this before we transition. What would you say to the individual who's not the athlete and for them to maybe they're in a place in their life where they feel that they're not fulfilled. They're in a place in their life where they're wanting more. They're in a place where they're trying to figure out what's the next level. Like, what's a tangible step or a couple of steps that you would want to give them to maybe help them begin to shift that mindset? To fall forward, if you will.
To fall forward. Yeah, the best thing I would do, is make a plan and execute it. So I say the first thing you need to do is write down steps that need to be done, at least three steps, and go after those three steps wholeheartedly. If you full and wholeheartedly go after the steps, if you fail, it doesn't matter. Because that's the biggest thing. People are afraid of failing when they plan something and it doesn't work out. Mm-hmm. If you can understand success and understand how it works, failure is nothing but a lesson learned and you're going to do it again. So I'm the type of person, if I fail or if something happens, I'm going to get up and do it again. So when you do that, failure is not an option for you. Because for me, messing up, I lost everything. So I'm going to get up and do it again.
Yeah.
I don't have anything. You know, I obviously don't have anything. So what I got to lose now?
Yeah.
So you're in a better place, but people have to understand you need to set a plan up, because a lot of people, the reason you don't move is because you don't have a plan.
Run that back one more time, though.
For a lot of people, the reason you don't move is because you don't have a plan. You just say, I want to be famous. Okay. So if you really want to be famous and you want to be an actor, then you should develop a plan to move to LA and already have some acting gigs or something lined up. Or you want to be a singer, you better set up some singing gigs or something, but don't just talk about it and don't have a plan. So I think that's people's greatest weakness. They don't set up a plan. They just want to bump into somebody and say, hey, you discovered me. Thank you. You know?
Thank you. I've made it. Give me my Hollywood star. Man. Oh. The Bible says, write the vision, make it plain. The Bible also tells us to count the cost.
Absolutely.
Count the cost. Okay, so I always enjoy this part, because I'm just curious to hear, like, if I ask you to describe yourself in 5 words, what 5 words would you use to describe yourself?
I'd say brave, bold, humble, loving, and I want to say, what's a good word to say? I don't care. In one word?
Nonchalant.
Nonchalant. Nonchalant. Describes me very well. Very nonchalant.
Okay. I can rock with that, and I can see all those in you, because I would definitely say bold just by seeing some of the topics that you've unpacked on YouTube. Yeah. If you have not checked out Dosey's YouTube series, you need to go to YouTube and type in Falling Forward, because this brother here, with these YouTube topics, he's unpacking things that other people would put that red tape around there and say, no, don't go there. Don't go there. And I think, oh, Lord, I got on a soapbox. But I think that's a thing that sometimes happens. I'm saying sometimes because I want to generalize. Mm-hmm. In the church.
Absolutely.
There's certain areas that need to be discussed. There's certain areas that need to be talked about. But people say, no, I can't touch that. Mm-hmm. Or no. And it might even be the pastor. where somebody comes up to the pastor like, "Pastor, I have faith that God will make a way here." And the pastor's like they might go with him. They might humor him like, "Yeah, good, good." Mm-hmm. But then they might go in the closet and like, "I don't know if that's, I don't know if God's going to do that for you." Mm-hmm. Then it's like, but what is the point of us having faith?
Absolutely. You know, it's funny that you even say that, because I was just having a conversation with somebody yesterday, and I was saying how, I don't know what when Christians started doing this, but why do people say, hey, God, a lot of times God won't give you what you want. He'll give you what you need, right? But they'll do that in situations where it's like, hey, I want to, example, I want to buy these red shoes, right? God will give you these blue shoes because he won't give you what you want. He'll give you what you need. And it's like, what Bible are you reading?
Oh, give me a chapter and a verse with that one.
You know what I mean? Like, so if I pray for a baby, is God going to give me a basket of fruit? Like, is that what you're saying? Like, what? Because it doesn't add up. I understand God does give you what you need above what you want, but at some point you can't cover up for God. Mm. Is what happens. It's actually a lack of faith. Mm. People are like, "Oh, I didn't make it and become famous, but God gave me this job over here because it's what I needed." No, you need to go back and push God more. People don't like to put the pressure on God. They want to cover up for him.
Ooh.
He's God.
Ooh, he is God. Oh, my God.
You know what I mean? So a lot of people, it's really a cover up for him. I'm not covering up for you. If you amazing as you say you are, well, let's put it. Let's see what's up. So it's, but you have to, I mean, how are you going to know God is real if you don't test him? He tests you.
Man, that's... Ooh, Dennis. He said, "I'm gonna put God to the test," and I think that's the part where you're really challenged in any relationship, because you never know if somebody is really for you until the chips are down. Because we know what to do when we win the lotto. We know what to do when it's Thanksgiving and we have all the food in front of us. But what do you do when Thanksgiving comes and you have no turkey, you have no ham, you have no stuffing, or you can't even enjoy your mom's delicious baked macaroni and cheese?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh man, that's so dozy. That's so good. that's really good, man. Because I think there's a point in the time now to where, yes, faith without works is dead. So your faith is challenged. And then also the work that you putting in is challenged too.
Absolutely.
Because you can't expect, hello successors, gym drop alert. You can't expect to be successful in life if you never double down on your success, but also double down on your faith.
Absolutely.
Man.
Absolutely.
Dennis, can we pass the collection plate?
But I mean, you think about it, when it comes to entrepreneurs, they're in the same kind. That's why there's a certain level of biblical principle that entrepreneurs have, whether they're saved or not, that I've definitely noticed.
Mm.
And it's just, they think like that. Hey, I want this. I'm gonna put the pressure to get it. Everything could fail. I still want this. This I'm still gonna push for it.
Whew.
But Christians will be like, "I want this. Oh, everything failed. Maybe God didn't want it for me. He gave me what I needed. Why? What are you doing? In what Bible? Because my Bible says God will give you above what you ask or think. So if he's going to give you above what you ask or think, that means you already asked for it. He gave you that plus more. So I'm like, what scripture are you reading then? Because clearly I shouldn't be serving God.
Man. And as you're sitting here saying this, I can't help but think, because we're talking about entrepreneurs, we're talking about athletes, we're talking about leaders, manhood, we're talking about all these great things. And I just can't help but to think about Moses. And just think about any field, you know, because think about them people who, because I'm not sure if you ever told people that you had a desire to go to the NFL, but I'm sure there was some people somewhere saying, "You ain't going to make it."
Absolutely.
And then, of course, after your time with the NFL is done, you're like, "Oh, nah, he's done. He's out of here. He's no good. What is he?" But think about the amount of pressure and the amount of people who were talking down to Moses. Because we know the people were whining, but then he brought them to the Red Sea.
Absolutely.
And then they're seeing life. Hello, entrepreneurs. Hello, business people. Hello, individuals who are striving for greatness in your life. You're going to see a Red Sea at some point in your life. And then the question is, are you going to trust God to put down
and part that Red Sea. You know, like,
and the part that's really good about that, the Red Sea wasn't parted until they got to the Red Sea.
That's true.
The Red Sea wasn't parted before.
That's true.
Moses is leading the people, and then they have the horses and the chariots chasing right behind them. So you got trouble in front of you, you got trouble behind you, and then you got these people hating on you right here with you. And then God is saying, so what you gonna do now? Moses, you can't part the Red Sea by yourself. These people can't, even if they took cups and tried to move the water out, y'all ain't moving that sea. Man, absolutely.
Because people don't understand, you're going to get tested. That's part of life. That's what builds you up. But God doesn't get a pass. If he's testing you, you should test him. You know what I mean? Take the risk. He's God. Like, he is, if you understand how big and amazing he is, come on. Jesus, you said this. What's up? Like, this is supposed to happen. Sorry about that. This is supposed to happen.
Man, that's good.
You know, but, you know, we like to take pieces. We like to take pieces. So we say, hey, I want a kid. I should expect a kid. But I want this type of spouse, but I shouldn't expect this type of spouse. You know what I mean? Like, we give it, we put it in sections when it's all one thing.
Man.
If you ask, it says asking you shall receive.
That's what it says.
So
it don't say how it's going to come, though.
It doesn't say how it's going to come.
Because you can pray for that type of woman. Or that type of man, but then you get them on paper. You get them in the picture. You get them in the frame. But then behind closed doors, you begin to realize, but that young lady might have daddy issues.
And she's not really what you wanted.
And I'm not even going to say that, but it's just she might be dealing, you now have to help her deal with that. And then the young man, he might have never led anything in his life before. But this is who you wanted. Guys, but this is who you wanted, right? You didn't know. I mean, you didn't know what you're going to get, but this is what you want.
Absolutely.
Man. I'm going to say this and then we're going to move on, but the picking bits and pieces, I think that's what's so difficult about people as a whole. Believers, non-believers, whatever you believe, you want to pick the stuff that sounds good out the Bible. Okay, God says, he's going to open up the windows and pour it out. Pour out a blessing so big that I don't have enough room to receive it. He want to tell me eyes haven't seen nor ears have heard the blessings I have. We want to take all that, but then we don't want to take when it says in Romans that perseverance and our character is being tested and we're getting built up. We don't want that. We don't want the rough stuff, but we want the pot of gold. We want the trophy at the end of the season, but we don't want to go in the weight room and do 6 a.m. workouts.
It's true. People don't. They really don't want to put the works in. They got the faith for it. That's why, as part of just to go back to moving, part of why I'm moving, I said this year has to be different. It has to be different. So I'm moving. I may not want to move, but it's the works I'm doing for the plan that I have. So I have to move. Like, I have to. You have to sometimes get your hands dirty. And that's part of, like, people don't want to get their hands dirty, but they all want to be entrepreneurs.
Man, you have to. You have to get the hands dirty, and sometimes other people won't understand.
No, they won't.
And then check this, because when you're in the lab, you have gloves on, right?
Absolutely.
Dozy, but I always see you when you go into work, when you're working with these chemicals, when you're working with this stuff that's extremely dangerous, you have on gloves. But now you're stepping outside the box and moving somewhere else. Why? I don't understand. You have to get your hands dirty, but that doesn't make sense to me. It don't have to make sense to you. This is the plan that God told me to.
And a lot of times that person could be your best friend. Because, you know.
Talk their truth.
A lot of times if God gave you a vision, he didn't give it to everybody. He might have just gave it to you. Your best friend is your best. And I'm not even coming for your best friend in the wrong way. But I mean, they can't understand the picture now. They have to understand it later. But part of the reason that's happening is because you have to learn how to stand on your own 2 feet, which is why a lot of entrepreneurs can stand on their own two feet. Like, it's just they're equipped to do that. Entrepreneurs are a certain type of people, the ones that are very successful. And I've noticed that they all have something in common. They're all very direct. And they all can stand on their own feet. They can be islands. A lot of them can be islands.
That's really good, because I'm reading. I've been reading Think and Grow Rich. I'm taking my time through the book, but it's really, really good. And it's the type of book that I know it's based off biblical truths. As I'm reading through it, I see it, and I'm like, okay. But one thing I've seen it talk about is, in order for you to fail in leadership, it says be indecisive. It says in order for you to be an effective leader, it says make decisions quickly, firmly, and stand behind them. And that, I actually did an episode on that like earlier this week, actually. But I couldn't agree with you more, because the people who are successful, they say what they mean what they say, they don't waver. They don't waver. What does the Bible say? An unstable man is unstable in all his ways.
Absolutely.
So if you wavering here, you tell me we're going to do this and we don't do it, then you go over here and then you wonder why, you know, your home life is a wreck.
Mm-hmm.
You wonder why you can't get a successful business off the ground, because you're not stable. You're not grounded nowhere.
It's true.
So therefore, you can't expect to yield success from your ability to waver. Man, okay. Oh,
man, interesting episode. Lord,
man, God out here cooking up Iron Chef edition on this episode of Speak Your Success. Lord have mercy. Okay, so I'm curious to hear from you, Dozy, because I mean you've done some amazing things, and you're fairly young, brother.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, the brother look good. Yeah. So now I'm curious to hear from you. Who's somebody that you've seen out here who's been putting in work as well, but you feel that they haven't received their just due, or nobody has shed the light on them to say, you know, I see you out here. You're out here getting it too. I respect what you're doing. I support what you're doing. Who would that individual be for you?
Okay, so an individual definitely is a good friend of mine. His name is Greg West.
Okay.
And he's a mortgage consultant.
Yeah, I rock with Greg.
Yeah, he just started his own business. And
shout out to Greg.
Credit building, but more so in all of this, he's gotten his life together. He not everybody has to do this, but he stopped drinking. He just started cleaning his life up. And I'm looking at him, I'm just seeing this different person. From him stopping drinking, he started his business. And his mortgage thing is also skyrocketing. I'm looking like, this man is moving up entirely. I'm almost excited to, I almost wish I could stay to personally see what's going to happen later on in his life. But he's somebody I definitely need to shout out, because his mortgage business is going through the roof, you know?
I love it, man. And I have a lot of respect for Greg, because just like you're saying, like, his business has begun to elevate. And I haven't had the opportunity to attend one of his events yet, but I've seen that he started doing events, and I even seen the transition from his flyers, and you can just see the growth from the flyers and from the professionalism. And I mean, Greg's a guy who carries himself very professionally.
Absolutely.
Yeah, man. Shout out to Greg, man. Yeah,
special shout out to Greg.
Man, yeah, Greg, you're this week's Winner Circle of the Week, brother. Man, we love what you're doing. We definitely support you. Dozy just gave you the crown. You got the trophy this week, brother. So we definitely want to shout you out, and we wish you nothing but continued success. So Dozy, this right here is one of my favorite segments of the show.
Okay.
And this segment is called This or That. In this segment,
I gotta get ready for this.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I don't know if you studied last night, but it's just like them, you know, standardized tests that they tell you don't need to study, but it's always difficult. But this isn't going to be difficult at all. I'm just going to ask you a few rapid-fire questions. You're just going to say the answer that best sits with you.
Okay. I can say anything?
Well, no. I'm going to give you two answers, and you say this or that. You say this or that.
Okay.
If I was to say, like, Apple or Android, then you would say?
That.
No, well, you would say Apple, or you would say Android.
Okay,
I didn't prep you before. That's my bad. That's my bad. Okay.
My bad, people.
So here we go. Chicken or pizza?
Chicken.
Coke or Sprite?
Coke.
March Madness or NFL playoffs?
NFL playoffs.
Oh, that was an easy one. Apple or Android?
Apple.
Beaches or mountains?
Beaches.
Winter or fall?
Fall.
Fiji or Osaka?
Osaka.
Got one more. Instagram or Twitter?
IG. Instagram. Okay.
See, that wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad at all.
Just quick. Yeah, you was looking there. The questions ain't up there. He was trying to cheat. He was trying to look on the laptop. Dennis, nope. No,
but the Coke or Sprite, I don't drink soda, so I was like, I guess Coke.
Yeah, I figured you. How long have you been doing that?
Not drinking soda?
Yeah.
College.
Really?
Yeah. I don't eat sweets neither.
Really?
All in college.
Are you a vegan?
No. I just figured later on, you know, people get diabetes and all of that stuff. I was like, if I stop now, I'll be able to eat whatever I want for the rest of my life. Be able to eat food for the rest of my life and not have to cut back on sweets and all this and that and salt and da-da-da. So I just cut it early.
Mm. Why not go vegan? Are pescatarian?
No, it's not happening. I like meat.
Have you seen the study? No, the videos and stuff?
No.
I haven't seen
heard it.
I've heard about What the Health, and I know there's so many others, but you know those are targeted to make you basically, I guess, make a conscious choice, encourage conscious choice. Anyway, okay, so Dozy, real quick before we get into the final thought, I want to give you opportunity just to share with the people once again where they can connect with you on social media and where they can find more information about Falling Forward.
Okay, so once again, through social media, my name is, my Instagram handle, and in general on everything, is Dozy, D-O-Z as in zebra, I-E, the number 4 and the letter J, and you can find me on IG, which is the one I use the most. Also, for YouTube, my name is Dozy Azima, or you can just type in Falling Forward, and you'll see my series. You see my series on there.
Excellent. And once again, I'm going to have all that information down in the show notes. And we're going to make sure that you all get the opportunity to connect with Dozy. And please, we encourage you to blow up the comments. Let us know what you thought about the interview. Let us know what you liked. Let us know what you felt was funny and all that good stuff. Now, Dozy, I just want to bring it to you really quick. But I want to thank you for taking the time to come out to the show. For sure.
Definitely. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, man. This is
a good show.
This is a spirit-led show. Like, I mean, he was in here, man. The Holy Spirit was like, man, the door is open, so I'm just going to slide through.
It's like I'm coming through, you know?
And I was already dwelling, so, hey, where two or three are gathered.
There he is.
He is in the midst. Amen. But, Dozy, I want to give you the opportunity just to share your final thought, man. What's on your heart, man? Take a minute, whatever. Just share something that you want to share with the people to encourage them to fall forward.
Well, that's good. So my final thought is I just want everybody to know, be willing to deal with the risk or the consequences of your actions. And the reason I say that is a lot of people in this world, period, we make decisions, and the problem is not what decision we make, it's the aftermath. Because we're not willing to deal with the decision. We're not willing to deal with the consequences of our decision. For example, as a man, if I like all women that are 6 feet, at a certain point, my pool of women is going to shrink. Mm. So let's say I'm 40 and I'm not married. That's a decision I have to be willing to deal with because I liked all women over 6 foot. You know what I mean?
That's real.
So a lot of people make decisions and you're not willing to deal with the consequences. Mm. Understand whatever decision you make, think about it, evaluate it, and live life by it. Don't be upset at what happens because you made a decision. If you're going to become an entrepreneur and risk your money and you lose it, it's a consequence that you are willing to take. So I tell people you have a lot more peace and you'll enjoy life a lot more if you're willing to deal with the consequences of your actions.
Man, that's really good. That's one to grow on right there, Dennis. Mm-hmm. That's one to grow on. Man. Everybody, we thank you all for taking the time to, you know, rock with us, taking the time to listen if we're in your ears, or taking the time to watch if you're on YouTube. But also, subscribe. If you have not subscribed, click that red subscribe button. And make sure to subscribe to the Speak Your Success podcast, which is available on all major streaming networks, iTunes, Android Market, Spotify, iHeartRadio, all those cool places. And then also, if you're on YouTube, enjoy watching us. Subscribe to Speak Your Success. And we're going to close it out like we always do. This is TEDx speaker and best-selling author with the mastermind, Dozy Azima, over here. And reminding you to speak your success, believe in your greatness, and continue to create the life and business of your dreams. Why would you want to live any other way?